Hello everyone. Greetings from the World Health Organization. I'm Dr. Shelley Chatha, and today I'm taking this opportunity to share with you our research on the methodological quality of clinical guidelines for universal newborn hearing screening. I'm making this presentation on behalf of my co-author, Dr. Kalyan Kamenov, as well as on behalf of the World Health Organization and the United Nations Children's Fund, which have supported this work. So first of all, let me give some perspective as to why this paper was written, why this research was undertaken. Globally, there are about 450 million people who have what we term as disabling hearing loss. And about 34 million of these are children. Hearing loss in children is especially important because hearing is key to learning spoken language, to performing academically, and to engaging socially. And when a child is born with hearing loss, he or she is deprived of that sensory stimulus, which is so important for the development of oral language and for cognition. The good news, however, is that solutions are available, effective and cost-effective solutions are available so that children with hearing loss do not have to face the adverse impact of this condition. So whether it's in the form of hearing technology, hearing aids, cochlear implants, along with rehabilitative therapy, speech therapy and hearing therapy, as well as sensory substitution, sign language, lip reading, and so on. Solutions are available. However, the key to successful outcomes is early intervention. Early intervention with appropriate and effective solutions. And when we're talking about early intervention, well, how early is early really? And here we are talking about screening no later than 1 month of age, diagnosis no later than 3 months of age, and the initiation of intervention no later than 6 months of age. So that is the definition of early identification and early intervention. And this is possible. It is possible through the implementation of universal newborn hearing screening programs, followed by effective and appropriate interventions. In consideration of these facts and these factors, the World Health Assembly in 2017 adopted a resolution on hearing loss. And this resolution urges all countries to, among, well, other things, it has other recommendations as well, but it urges all countries to implement screening programs that aim to identify children with hearing loss early and to intervene appropriately for their well-being. However, many countries still do not have newborn hearing screening included in their health agenda. And this is a map from a recent publication, I have the citation here, which shows in red simply those areas which have, almost no screening. And then, different levels of screening based on a survey which was conducted. So you can see how much of a gap there is in newborn hearing screening across the world. But one of the factors is also that when UNHS, when newborn hearing screening is implemented, there are also variations in approach and in screening methods. And this is often due to the differences in available resources in different parts of the world. But also one of the contributing factors is the lack of universal guidelines, which can say, which approach is that which countries can base themselves on. So to bridge this gap, This paper provides an overview of and the quality assessment of available guidelines that are evidence-based, that are up-to-date, and that clearly define the target population and the roles and responsibilities of professionals, as well as the screening methods which are adopted. So in this paper, what we have done is we did a scoping review to identify guidelines on newborn hearing screening, which were developed or updated in the last 15 years. We then screened those papers which were identified and see which fit our inclusion criteria, that is to be evidence-based, that is to be, within the last 15 years, that clearly define the target population, the responsibilities of health professionals, so parameters we were looking at, and that provide detailed information on screening methods and approaches. And then for those guidelines which were identified, we then undertook a detailed assessment of their quality using the Agree-To checklist. And Agree-To, for those who are not familiar with this tool, is really a set of 23 questions across six domains. So two independent observers go through these guidelines and rate the guideline across these 23 questions and come to a score. So based on this, what we identified were 118 guidelines were identified. Out of these, after title and full text screening, we had 27 guidelines, which were then based on our inclusion criteria, we could finally include six guidelines which were evaluated. Just a word on why we whittled down from 27 to 6. And that was essentially because many of the guidelines which we excluded, they did not provide any source of the evidence upon which they were based, or they did not provide detailed information on screening methods and approaches, or these were sourced from one of the guidelines which we were reviewing, and that was the Joint Committee on Infant Hearing Screening Position Statement. So this, since many of them were exactly sourced and based on this, it was not useful to also evaluate them independently. And then some documents which were initially included, but later on full text review, we found that they were actually referring to children at a later point in life, or were really supplements to existing guidelines, and then they were excluded. So that's why we whittled down from 27 to 26. So six high quality guidelines were identified across, and as you can see, they are from different parts of the world. And these guidelines were then scored finally through the Agree rating, and this in red here are the scores. So all of them are pretty much scored fairly high on the Agree-To rating. We found also many consistencies across these guidelines, which was great, because one thing was the 1-3-6 benchmark, screening completed by 1 month, audiological diagnosis by 3 months, and enrollment in early intervention by 6 months. So that was the benchmark for all of these guidelines. And most of them looked at moderate or higher level of hearing loss. All of them looked at moderate or higher. They had, they talked about health professionals, and in all of these guidelines, they referred to the role of an audiologist, which was to oversee the process and to be responsible for further testing when the child fails initial hearing screening. All of these guidelines talked about physiological tests, were based on physiological tests rather than on behavioral tests, looking at either auditory brainstem responses, automated auditory brainstem response, or otoacoustic emission as the first screening tools. There were also differences across these. So in terms of the latest version of the Joint Commission on Infant Hearing Screening position paper, while it says that the 1-3-6 benchmark is the benchmark, but it also talks about aiming for those countries which have achieved this benchmark. They must aim even higher for starting intervention by 3 months of age. In one of the guidelines, they actually took the initial screening, undertook the initial screening at 6 weeks rather than within the first month of life, and that was to fit the cultural context of the country. In one of the guidelines, they followed a little different criteria for or classification of hearing loss. So moderate hearing loss actually started at 40 dB, so that's a small difference in across these, but by and large, they were quite well aligned, so to say. Also, there were differences in the carders, which were undertaking the initial screening, as well as differences in the screening methods, you know, OAE and AABR, so otoacoustic emission and automated auditory brainstem responses, versus in some countries a preference for either otoacoustic emission or automated ABR. So these were some differences. What was identified was the Joint Committee on Infant Hearing Screening. This guideline overall had very high rating scores. It was also the most comprehensive, it was adaptable. It is the source or the basis on which many other guidelines across the world are based. And it has been recently updated, well, as recently as 2019. So based on this, this paper concluded that the Joint Committee on Infant Hearing Screening 2019 principles, they form a good starting point for development of country or region specific newborn hearing screening guidelines, but that every country must look at these guidelines carefully, and by following its principles, which are consistent across, well, almost all of the guidelines we evaluated, they must evaluate the country's specific barriers, whether related to service providers or related to the target population, to the children, to their families. So these need to be considered by the planners, and adaptations must be made based on the country context, on the resources available, and in consultations with experts and stakeholders within the country. So that is the conclusion of this research, and I invite all of you to read the paper. And you're welcome to also correspond with us should you have any questions about it. So I thank you again for this opportunity to speak to you through this medium, and I invite you to read this publication. Thank you.